Make sure you have a notepad ready, your highlighter, and your pen. Get ready to get started. All right, here's something here from Ignatius. He says this here in chapter 3, verse 1. To avoid Jewish fables. And he says this, be not deceived with strange doctrines, nor with old fables, which are unprofitable. Now remember, a fable is something that's true. Something that's true, a healing, your answer to prayer, but it's used for the purpose of replacing the covenant. And it becomes a fable. Okay, so, and it goes on here, Ignatius says, for if we still continue to live according to the Jewish law, where the law is there, we do confess ourselves not to have received grace. That means if you're observing the tithing and the physical baptism, physical communion, okay, or the circumcision or the Sabbath day, we confess, therefore, that we not to receive grace, which has to do with what we talk about today, is that anointing. For even the most holy prophets lived according to Christ Jesus. That has to do, again, with by that anointing. They lived by that anointing. Here's another one. He says in chapter 3, verse 3, he says here, don't observe the Sabbaths. Wherefore, if they who were brought up in these ancient laws came nevertheless to the newness of hope, no longer observing Sabbaths, but keeping the Lord's day in which also our life is sprung up by him, and through his death, whom yet some deny. That means the purpose of the sacrifice of the cross. They deny it by observing Moses. Another one from Ignatius, chapter 3, 9 through 11. He says here, lay aside therefore the old and sour evil leaven, and be changed into the new leaven, which is Jesus Christ. Okay, be you salted in him, lest anyone among you should be corrupted. For by your savor you shall be judged. It is absurd to name Jesus Christ and to Judaize. For the Christian religion did not embrace the Jewish, but the Jewish to Christian, that so every tongue that believed might be gathered together unto God, all saying the same thing. Another one from Ignatius about schism in the church to the Philadelphians, 1:9. He says here, be not deceived, brethren. If anyone follows him that makes a schism in the church, he shall not inherit the kingdom of God. If anyone walks after any other opinion, he agrees not with the passion of Christ. When he says passion of Christ, again, he's talking about the covenant. Let's read something out of the Testament of Simeon. Before the bell rings here, okay, we've got about a minute. This is the Testament of Simeon, chapter 1, 16 through 19. It'll be interesting to see what he has to say. He says, and now my children hearken to me, and beware the spirit of deceit and envy. For if a man flee to the Lord, the evil spirit runs away from him, and his mind is enlightened. He says, beware therefore of fornication, for fornication is the mother of all evils, separating us from God and bringing near to Belial. Of course, we talk about fornication as replacing the terms of the covenant. For I have seen it inscribed in the writing of Enoch, and this is Testament of Simeon now, he's reflecting upon Enoch, because it was Melchizedek that gave Abraham a copy of the book of Enoch, and Abraham reciprocated, giving him a tithe of all. Okay, for I have seen it inscribed in the writing of Enoch, that your sons shall be corrupted in fornication, and shall do harm to the sons of Levi with the sword. And we can see that happened about 500 years, or let's say about 500 to 700 years later, by the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, and also Saul killing 80 priests of the Lord. Okay, so that was fulfilled. Okay, here he talks about Testament of Simeon, chapter 2, verse 10, jealousy and envy. Therefore was Joseph comely in appearance and goodly to look to and look upon, because no wickedness dwelt in him, for some of the trouble of the spirit, the face manifests. And jealousy and envy. Okay, so have your Bibles open to Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, as we start today. We'll pick up where we left off last week. You have your notepad ready, your highlighter and your pen, and get ready to do some highlighting here, because we'll be highlighting the word faith as you run across the word faith today, highlight that and then continue to connect the word faith to the other word faith. And you see about four or five times it's mentioned here just in this one chapter. Okay, and also the word charity and the word joy. Okay, as the Apostle Paul continually describes to the Thessalonians, his description of these elements, okay, are seen and how they are played out. And this is what we do today. Okay, the description of the elements of the gospel is read and how it's played out in the activity and character of the saints. Okay, if you remove the activity and the character of the saints from the definition, then the definition is then identified or described according to the carnal mind, according to the logic of man. You can see this in the dictionaries. Okay, the dictionaries describe certain elements, okay, according to the counsel of man. Okay, what he thinks it is. Okay, but when you see the terms, the elements of the gospel, grace, faith, righteousness, okay, you see also truth, okay, truth and charity, as well as also regeneration, renewing of the mind, okay, peace, rest. Okay, you can see that the word itself, the element, has to be defined within the character and the practice of the church. It has to be defined by the light of the anointing, okay, and not the logic of man. So we're going to go on here. Okay, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Your faith stands in the anointing. That's how it's defined. Okay, not in the wisdom of man, which directs the aspiration, but in the power of God, which directs your faith. And always directs your faith in the covenant. Okay, there's where your confidence lies. Okay, for you are our glory and joy. Okay, the Apostle Paul says here, okay, I just read the last verse there in chapter 2. And this is 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. You are our glory and joy, which has to do with the fruit of this knowledge. Okay, the fruit of this knowledge is growing within you and expanding, growing. Okay, it's growing within you, okay, and through each cycle of growth, okay, it comes to a point of perfection to go on to the next level. Little children, young men, and fathers. Okay, through each cycle of your growth, you can see the circumcision and the healing of the soul. It comes about through your faith. And through each cycle, okay, as it's completed, this is the joy of the Lord. And this joy of the Lord is that which we glory in. Our boasting is of Him. So he that glories, let him glory in the Lord. Our boasting is within these things. Our boasting is within this power. Okay, not that which the natural man defines, but which the spiritual man defines. So our definition is from that which is spiritual, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. The tokens and the elements are defined by the power and how it's expressed in the character of it through each saint. Okay, in the scale of it within the stewardship, which is the government of God. Wherefore, he says here, now in chapter 3, verse 1, wherefore, when we could longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone. Okay, as concerning these results, the pending results, for you are our glory and joy, the pending results of this. Okay, and for this to be confirmed, that the joy of the Lord is being confirmed within you, Paul and Silvanus sent Timotheus there to affirm these things. And of course, Timothy affirmed these things, okay, as he attended the assemblies there in Thessalonica. So wherefore we can no longer forbear and affirm the stewardship and also the scale which you're using. What scale are you using? Are you using the scale of theology and the logic of your theology? Or are you using the scale of that which the anointing provides through stewardship? Well, let's see what Paul says here. Wherefore we can longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone and sent Timotheus. Okay, that is a token of this administration. Okay, as the gifts, the callings, the graces of God, government, truth, and spirit, prayer, preaching, and prophecy, okay, are tokens of his government, okay, which identifies the gifts, the operations, and the administrations, which Paul enumerates there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Okay, the gifts, the administrations, and the operations, because that which the Spirit manifests to the saints there is profitable to all the saints. Okay, and he brings that out. And sent Timotheus, our brother, and minister of God. She says this administration here sent him, even as Joseph was sent to Egypt. as an example. Joseph was sent into Egypt for the purpose of a preparatory stage for the preservation of seed. And Timothy is being sent to Thessalonica for the purpose of this preservation of the holy genealogies. Okay, our true memorial is in Christ. Our true genealogy is that which is born of the Spirit, not of the flesh. Okay, and St. Timotheus, our brother and servant of God, but the anointing is as the eye of God. Okay, he, by the anointing now, is as the eye of God, as he is beholding beholding these things within you. And St. Timotheus, okay, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer, which has to do with he's a builder or an FOE. Okay, the fellowship of elders. We see the fellowship of elders here, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy. That's the fellowship of the elders. Okay, and here he sent him for the purpose of observing, as the eye of God, the activity or the character of the assembly. That is the character of the assembly of the apostolical character. Okay, is it holding to this knowledge, okay, and the expression of it? Is it the purity of charity? Is it salted charity or is it just sand? So he sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel, he says here. This is to preserve your life there. Okay, the gospel of Christ to establish you. Cite the word establish there. Okay, to establish, which means to root you soundly in Christ. Okay, to establish you, as if Chief Elder Peter brings that out, as concerning this perfection of faith to settle and establish you, to settle you and to establish you. And see this in 1 Peter chapter 5. Right, to establish you and to comfort you. And this is to confirming the pure conscience. Now, to establish you and to comfort you, okay, is seen within the charity that you're communicating. The charity that you're communicating. Okay, is it building, okay, with the struggle of the conscience, or is it an expression of the purity of Christ? Now, you see in the false religious system, okay, that the confession is that which is in their own nature. Okay, their own nature, it's identifying the struggle of loss. The struggle of loss, which, of course, has to do with identifying that whom they're tethered to, which is Satan. Being tethered to Satan, you're tethered to death. Being tethered to Satan, you're tethered to hell. The plunderer is Satan, and he plunders, okay, through false knowledge. We see that in the Garden of Eden. Okay, in the Garden of Paradise, he plundered through false knowledge. Eve gave herself over to trying to express and expand her probabilities. Okay, to go beyond her present being. Okay, being in light, she wanted to go beyond that in order to experience and to express more. But of course, that was the temptation, is that she revert to the aspiration. Okay, reverting to the aspiration has to do with that which is, again, the projection of her own imagination of what she can succeed with, okay, rather than building and bonding with what the Spirit gives her. So here the Apostle Paul, okay, running these things, is helping the Thessalonians identify their particular position, that they haven't removed their foot from the altar, that they're standing fast in the presence of the altar, which has to do with the altar of Christ. So here to establish you, to be rooted soundly in Christ, not to fall out of the seed, the bag seed, okay, or the bag of seed there. Okay, not to fall out of that, but to remain with the steward for the purpose of the hundredfold. To establish you and to comfort you. This is to confirm the pure conscience concerning your faith. So I like the word faith there. Okay, so you take a highlighter and underline the word faith, because we'll be coming up on that again. Okay, when he says your faith, of course, he's talking about that which is submitting to charity, grace and charity. And he'll bring that up here in a minute. Okay, grace and charity. Okay, this is the results. It's concerning your faith, that which we can identify with as being Christ. Okay, that your obedience is not in vain. And then he says here that no man should be moved by these things or these afflictions, and that no man should go beyond these things. Okay, that is to try to explore more than that which the Spirit has given to you. You don't have to do that. The simplicity of this gospel is how it's maintained. It's maintained by your performance or by your priesthood. The simplicity of it. Now, the false religious system continually explores for other doors to open for them. Okay, the other doors are other opportunities. concerning monetary things or land expansion, building programs, okay, or evangelism, just to name a few of those things, okay, of how they can explore these other avenues, to identify these other avenues, and to use these other avenues as a scale of God's approval, as concerning getting wealthy, a scale of God's approval, okay, or building program, okay, or the church expansion program, okay, again, okay, you're looking at that as an approval of God, that God is justifying these things. That is, in other words, if it works, then it must be of God. If it works, it must be of God. Okay, that which is carnal thinking. That no man should be moved by these afflictions. Cite the word afflictions there, which has to do with the contradictions which we all face. The challenges to the aspiration. Okay, the challenges which we face. Okay, in order for us to grab hold of that aspiration. To take the wand of the aspiration, like you would see in some Harry Potter movie, taking that wand there, and able to create with it, okay, another dimension, or another avenue of expression to expand or to extend yourself, using the wand, the wand of this kind of wizardry, the imagination. We don't need the wand of wizardry in order to expand ourselves. We labor at the altar, and the Holy Ghost expands these things within you. He does the work. And this is what the Apostle Paul brings out there in Hebrews 1:14. Are they not all ministering spirits, these angels? They're servants, God's kingdom. Their presence here is for the purpose of expanding his kingdom in you. They're minister to you, not a ministering spirit, sent forth to minister for them who shall be the heirs of salvation. The heirs of salvation, which has to do, they are laboring within you and educating you, tutoring you, preparing you for the baptism of light. That was why our Father created them. God created the angels for the purpose of this involvement, the purpose of this tethering. And now he goes on here, verse 3, that no man, that means going to assessing these circumstances, okay, by the eye, the carnal eye, should be moved by these afflictions and contradictions that which we all face. For yourselves know, because of the sorrow, yourselves know that we are appointed thereto. Cite the word appointed thereto, okay, that death rips our conscience. Okay, death rips our conscience. So either death rips our conscience or Christ's circumcision removes the offense. And this is what the Spirit does. The sword of Christ removes the offense within the conscience, removes the offense there, those things which are in the soul, which stood against him. The things which we embraced to identify ourselves with to the world. And we all can reflect back on those things which we identified with for the purpose of expressing ourselves or placing value upon our individuality. We place value on our individuality because there is nothing else to place value on. So in order to place value on our individuality, we would associate with certain things or embrace other, certain things, certain philosophies, to pursue certain things in order to identify ourselves as being productive, which is deceptive to the eye, the carnal eye. But the simplicity of the gospel settles us and establishes us within this, the perimeters of this covenant, which makes it so simple, and it brings us into his peace. It brings us into his rest. We rest in him. Through this activity, we rest in him, and we have peace with God. And by these things, the peace of God rules in our hearts, which means our perspective overcomes. The perspective of Christ is our crown, and this is our peace. That we don't have to explore beyond these things in order to find ourselves or discover ourselves or to find value in ourselves any longer. Because if you try to compare yourself among your own peers and comparing yourself, there are always going to be some individual that seems to excel beyond the level that you're at, whether it be intellectually, okay, or physically, or in any other kind of form or activity or association. Or skill level, okay, as we see also in the books of Enoch. Okay, the books of Enoch bring that out. Okay, the 10 particular signatures of Adam. For verily, in verse 4 here, for verily, that means to weigh this activity and to weigh this accurately. For verily, when we were with you, that is me, Silvanus, and Timotheus, okay, we set down these things in your understanding. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before, we should suffer tribulation or struggles for the imagination. So you highlight the word suffer tribulation, highlight that, and you could draw a line from verse 4, suffer tribulation, to the word afflictions, in verse 3. Okay, the things that bombard, or you say, our imagination. Okay, what we feel we should be. That is in comparison to others of your kind. Say others, either of your gender, or your association, or of your employment. Okay, comparing ourselves with others. For verily, when we were with you, this we told you. He says, we told you before, in this understanding, that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass. Okay, about those that preach the false gospel, particularly. Those that preach the false gospel will stand against the anointing and the stewardship, because they want to identify themselves as being superior through their own theology. In other words, that their logic stands, well, it stands as their own light. To put it that way, that stands as their own light. They're using their own skill level, which they have found to be profitable in the world. They're using that to advance themselves in the kingdom of God. But the knowledge of the world does not advance you in God's kingdom. The knowledge of the world keeps you out of God's kingdom, because it suffocates your faith. It suffocates your faith. The knowledge of the world will suffocate your faith. That is, if you're building with it. If you're building with it. If you're building with it for the purpose of identifying yourself with those things, the things which are corruptible, and the things that defile faith, then, of course, it's going to suffocate your growth cycles, and it's going to confuse you. In fact, it will bring, another way to put it, it will bring like a famine to your faith. In other words, you're going to have one dry season after another dry season. Your growth cycles will be very minimal, if any. Then you're going to be confused. Then the confusion follows these things, and Satan takes advantage of that, sowing doubt, double-mindedness, and finally sedition. But this is what Paul's talking about right here. He's weighing the faith of the Thessalonians upon the report of Timotheus. And as we read on here, we'll see that he was very pleased with that. Okay, very pleased with their growth cycle. As we read on here to verse 12. But let's here go verse 4. To weigh this accurately, he says, really, when we were with you, me, Silvanus, and Timotheus, we set down this understanding for you. We told you before that we should suffer tribulation and the struggles for the imagination, even as it came to pass about those that preach this false gospel. Because the false gospel puts a fretting spirit, a fretting, as one would fret, F-R-E-T-T-I-N-G, fretting spirit. False knowledge causes fretting. It causes abandonment. It causes one to isolate, rather than to associate. Rather than associating with God's kingdom and assembly, they begin to isolate from it through this fretting. Even as it came to pass, and you know. And for this cause, he says in verse 5, the challenges that we faced for his joy, that is, this cause, when we could no longer forbear, that is, by the letters which we sent and received, we sent now Timotheus. Okay, that is, in person, and to weigh these things. So Timotheus was going to be your scale. I sent to know your faith. I like the word faith again. Okay, the stewardship is your scale. Okay, so that's the second time he mentions it here, from verse 2 to verse 5. So you can highlight the word faith there in verse 5. Draw a line from verse 2 to verse 5, because you've got a few more to highlight and to draw lines to. I sent to know your faith. Okay, because there's three kinds of faith. That which is living and active within your priesthood, and that which is also the gift of faith, as well as also the faith identifying the truth of the gospel. Okay, the truth of the gospel. Which has to do with the fruit, the gift, and the doctrine. So here he says, your faith, he's talking about that which is fruit-bearing. And fruit-bearing is pretty obvious, because he's talking about how it's concerning increasing and abounding in us, in verse 12. For this cause, when I could longer forbear, I sent to know your faith. The fruit-bearing. Are you bearing forth fruit? Lest by some means a tempter, which I brought out earlier, Satan. Okay, because Satan is mixing the facts. He's mixing facts. And that's what he did in the Garden of Paradise. He mixed the facts. Did God say? Okay, and of course, by mentioning God, it was a false point of discernment for Eve, because she heard him say mentioned the Creator, but the knowledge that Satan was using wasn't standing in the Creator's favor. It was standing in Satan's favor. I sent to know your faith as by some means a tempter, because Satan used these circumstances to a sowing of doubt, and to hinder also the mobility of your growth, so that you focus on the issues, not the covenant. So I sent to know your faith as by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. Okay, the knowledge which we have sowed among you was not profitable for the seed which you planted. In other words, it was bad soil. Satan wants to shake the bag. Okay, he wants to shake the bag so that you fall out. And by falling out, of course, we're talking about the birds of the air would devour it, or it falls on the rocks and the sun, and it doesn't grow, but the sun consumes it, or it falls among the thorns, okay, and springs up, looks profitable, but then suddenly fades away. Okay, so Satan shakes the bag so that the seed will fall out, and falling on the bad soil, it begins to use the issues of the world as a scale for their Christianity. We see this today. Okay, certain believers are using the world as their scale of approval, okay, whether being persecuted. Okay, they're using persecution as evidence of their pure faith, but it's not. Persecution is not evidence of truth. Okay, it's evidence of disapproval, okay, of any particular lifestyle. Okay, people are persecuted for their race. People are persecuted for their culture. People are persecuted for their belief systems. No matter where you live. Now you see the same thing in China as an example. Muslims are persecuted by the communists. Okay, well, we can see that the persecution there has nothing to do, okay, with the truth of the gospel. It just has to do with selected lifestyle and a belief system. So we see even in Satan's kingdom continually plunders each other through the trifles which are expressed. We see this in the atmosphere. Whatever is unfolded in the atmosphere or expressed in the atmosphere is unfolded within the dimension of this darkness down here. The principality and powers of the air, the tether of Satan, okay, is extended to the conscience of the wicked. So the conscience of the wicked is carried out. Whatever is unfolded in the atmosphere is carried out as by the sinners and the ungodly in this dimension. The string pulling of perception begins within a kingdom that it's tethered to. Our perception is tethered to Jesus Christ. Being our perception is tethered to Jesus Christ, okay, our faith is made perfect. But in the kingdom of darkness, the tethering of the wicked, the strings of the wicked, of course, are tethered to Satan. Being tethered to Satan, the wicked carry out, okay, or carry forth that perspective, which is the perspective of envy or malice, okay, strife, division, murder, debate, deceit. Of course, the Apostle Paul brings out a lot of manifestations of that tethering of darkness, which, of course, is confusion. Okay, so therefore he says, lest our labor be in vain, that you fill in the bad soil, that you jumped out of the bag, you jumped ship, you jumped out of the bag, okay, into the bad soil. But, of course, the good report that Timotheus brought to us, Apostle Timothy, he came from you unto us again to report your growth to us in Athens, because that's where Timothy was sent out from. Timothy was sent from Athens, and here he went to Thessalonica. And upon his return to the fellowship of the elders, he gave this report. Verse 6, but now when Timothy came from you to us, you returned and brought us the good tidings that you have observed and you listened to your priesthood, that you received the instruction through the government stewardship. He brought us good tidings of your faith and charity. So I like the word faith and charity there, and draw a line from the word faith there in verse 6, faith in verse 5, and faith in verse 2. This is the fruit of faith. The tidings, good tidings of your faith, that your priesthood is active. Also that through these things, that your obedience is expressing this power, and this power is the voice of Christ, and the voice of Christ is heard in your sacrifices, and that our presence there wasn't for the purpose of plundering you in any way, but rather to bear Christ's testimony. But now when Timotheus came from you to us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that you have good remembrance of us, like the word remembrance of us, we're talking about us concerning an observation of his kingdom government, of us always, desiring greatly to see us as we also to see you, and we feel the same way, and desiring to see you as we also to see us. Therefore, that seeing that this knowledge now is taking root within you, we call that like the resurrection lily. Okay, now Apostle Estelle, okay, had a very interesting experience concerning the resurrection lily. Okay, right after the vision that she had, also the pink entity, okay, which of course I posted there in your Facebook, the images there in Facebook for sacrifice today. You can see the pink entity up there. Okay, another confirmation of that in the house of Eva. Okay, so this is what he says, saying that this knowledge now is taking root within you. Okay, and how do we know that? Because the fruit, okay, you know them by the fruits. Okay, that means the fruit is identifying the tree that you're from, that you're tethered into. So therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction distressed by your faith. There's the word faith again, the fruit of faith. Okay, that seeing these things are taking root within you, of course, our joy now found peace. That's what he's saying, our joy found peace. He brings it out in verse 9. Our joy found peace here as you continue to abide in the shadow of his wings. Now, abiding in the shadow of his wings, we see this in Psalms 91. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty, which has to do with the knowledge of the covenant. Through the knowledge of the covenant, we have our refuge. Of course, the knowledge of the covenant includes all things. The gifts, the callings, the grace of God. The nine fruits, the nine gifts, the five callings. 9:59. Okay, so therefore, brethren, verse 7, when we were comforted over you, okay, in other words, the tidings of this report match the anointing. Okay, the tidings of the report match the anointing within you and also being approved of God. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you, okay, under these wings here, and all our affliction and distress. That is that you endured the oppression of those that protested this gospel, okay, teaching the doctrine of Nicolaitans, particularly, okay, teaching the doctrine of Nicolaitans or the false prophetic, as we see in unto the angel of the church in Thyatira, that we see the false prophetic movement there, as well as also the doctrine and the deeds of the Laodiceans, okay, and identifying or the Nicolaitans, which also has to do with the works of the law. Satan was mixing the works of the law with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and by doing that, would make your faith lukewarm. And here, the Apostle Paul, by the report of Timotheus, was saying that your faith has remained pure. If your faith is pure, so is your conscience. Okay, we can see that also out of the epistle there, okay, of Chief Elder John, concerning how truth is teaching them. Okay, truth is teaching you this charity, okay, and is teaching you this charity by this anointing which we preach to you. Therefore, brethren, we are comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. For now we live if you stand fast in the Lord. So hide the word stand fast here, because we bear the eternal things as you take confidence in the justification of spirit and the anointing. So don't move your foot from the altar, that you stand fast in the Lord. Don't move your foot from the altar. So as you retain this form of activity, you grow in faith. When you're growing in faith, you have peace. Okay, you have peace through a form of expression. The peace of the world, the peace which the world identifies with, is that they have tokens provided for them to express themselves and to find completion. Okay, they have tokens of the world. Okay, the tokens of the world are the things of this world. Okay, the things of this world, which has the lusty eyes, and the lust of flesh, and the pride of life. The things of this world, working with the aspiration, provides a false peace for the sinner. So as long as the sinner has access to the tokens which give them this peace, okay, they feel no need to turn to Christ. So now you can see why God sends tribulation, why God sends trouble. God sends trouble to put the heathen in a position, okay, where their confidence is being stung. Okay, they're in a position of vulnerabilities. And being in a position of vulnerabilities, they begin to reevaluate things of life. The tokens of this world, okay, which provided them the peace, it was really, there was a lie concealed within that apple, you could say. That was the poisonous apple. So Satan says, here, I know you're hungry. Why don't you have this apple to fill yourself? Not realizing that it was dipped in poison. Okay, and being dipped in poison, it puts you to sleep, okay, like in Snow White. Okay, it puts you to sleep. So Satan keeps the world asleep until God brings evident contradiction. He challenges to their comfort zone. And when these challenges of the comfort zone are felt, then they begin to move. They begin to search for reality. So God sends within this dimension war, famine, and pestilence, because those which were embracing the gospel, the aspiration, forgot God. They forgot, why did Jesus die on the cross for? Okay, what is it that these terms here, which Jesus shed his blood for, what is it that these things have grown so dim in their understanding? And it's grown dim in their understanding. That's why they're in a state of confusion. Those in a false religious system are trying to bring about equity through protest, equity through politics, equity through war, okay, equity through, false knowledge, or evangelism. They're trying to bring equity to the world. It says, well, we're going to evangelize the world. We'll bring peace on earth through our evangelism. No, you won't. That won't happen. It didn't happen in the first eighth week. It's not going to happen in the second eighth week. There's not going to be peace on earth, goodwill toward men, not until the Prince of Peace himself comes within this dimension and establishes his kingdom and throne in Jerusalem there, okay, for the millennial reign, for the thousand-year reign. Then there will be peace on earth, goodwill toward men. At that point in time, okay, the Prince of Peace was born in this dimension in order to provide first peace within the conscience and the healing of the soul. By his stripes we were healed for the healing of the soul and for the purging of the conscience. Not for the purpose of changing the environment that would be favorable for the next generation, okay, or like Greenpeace, okay, or all these activists are trying to bring about a better world, okay, a better world through compromise, but not through covenant faith. And that's not going to happen. Okay, that's an illusion which Satan has sown in the minds of the carnal-minded believers of the false religious system. He got them to the point of believing that they can bring about world peace or the equity if they establish the laws for the sinners to embrace. In other words, we will get laws that will tell the sinner how to live. Okay, well, that's what Constantine tried to do. Okay, he tried to establish a kingdom by that law. And all he did was establish more confusion. All right, let's go on here. Okay, by faith you stand, for what thanks can we render to God? Verse 9, for what thanks can we render to God again for you? Okay, seeing these things, for there's no need for any kind of repentance on your part. That's what he's saying, for what thanks can we render to God? There's no need for repentance. What thanks can we render to God? That seeing your prayers answered, okay, in your obedience. Our prayers were answered in your obedience, and your prayers were answered. And this is what he brings out. For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy, I like the word joy there, wherewith we joy, I like the word joy again, for your sakes before God. This is now you're completing the cycle of life. The cycle of life is completed. It's completed here. He goes on here, that your obedience is now fulfilled for all the joy. You're simulating the likeness of God through this knowledge. Assimilating the likeness of God through this knowledge. The light of God has dawned within your conscience. By this, now you can pursue the goal for perfection. But the defiled conscience cannot pursue the goal for perfection, okay? Because the state of the conscience being defiled is not profitable. Truth will not grow in error. Okay? Error will not grow in truth. Seeing then that their conscience has been purified by faith in Jesus Christ, the conscience is now that fertile soil to where the soul now can extend itself and expand itself and God's house through this fruit by this knowledge. What things can we render to God again for you for the joy? I like the word joy there and joy again. Wherewith we joy. Remember, the joy of the Lord is your strength. The tokens which he provides bring us this to completion. By this completion, we glory. Okay, we increase with the increase of God. We increase with the increase of God. So the more you sow, the more you grow. The more you stand to attend the altar, prayer time. If you increase your prayer time, increase your prayer time. And your sacrifices, if you can do so by reflecting upon the knowledge that you have received. Because the anointing will perfect us. The anointing will perfect us so that the understanding, which is the grace of God, Okay, wisdom, knowledge, understanding. Your understanding, that means that you can set order. You can set order to any conflict, conflict of knowledge, as you see about in Facebook or Twitter, okay, or Instagram, okay, or TikTok. Okay, you can set order to error by the anointing, because you're building on that foundation of truth, which you have received through the stewardship, which God has ordained. Okay, which God has ordained. This will strengthen you. This will settle you. This will perfect you, okay, to the glory of God. Okay, and you receive a crown of glory, okay, for your labor. And this is what he brings out here, night and day praying for you. Okay, and it's the same thing that I do, whether it be at midnight or whether at noon, whatever the hour is. The prayers are continually being expressed for the benefit of your growth, the building and the bonding, the benefit of your growth. Okay, and this is where he says here, perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Okay, that God will continue to issue these gifts upon his visitations, which is evident within your level one dreams, particularly your level one dreams. Your level one dreams are the most important. Okay, the level two dreams has to do with the form of activity, which the Apostle Paul brings out in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 identifies the difference between the work of regeneration and the gifts. Okay, the gifts can operate outside of the kingdom of God. Okay, the gifts can operate outside the kingdom of God, whether it be dreams and visions, they can operate outside the kingdom of God. But those things which operate inside the kingdom of God, okay, is profitable for your growth. Now, the false religious system can't make that distinction. When they can't make that distinction, the compassion of God, when it's expressed through healing or answer to prayer, is then stolen from the work of Christ. In other words, their charity becomes a lie. Their charity becomes a lie, okay, because their charity becomes self-approval instead of that which is bonding in the building of the kingdom of God. They're like stealing a brick or a stone from the temple. Verse 10 here, night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face, that Christ would continually be expressed and that Jesus will be seen within you as well as in us, that we might see your face and might perfect that, hide the word perfect that, adding to your understanding, which means it's necessary for stewardship to be present in order for your understanding to continue to abound. You can see the difference between the church that's in covenant and the church that's not in covenant, out of covenant. The unconverted believer. The unconverted believer is not in the covenant of Jesus Christ. And you can see that in the stalemate, okay, of their understanding. A stalemate. They get to a certain point and they plane off. Okay, I've heard ministers, pastors even say that. They get to a certain point, it's called burnout. They burn out simply because they cannot break the glass ceiling. They cannot go beyond. They can see it, but they can't achieve it. It's a glass ceiling. They can't go beyond that. They can see it, but they can't obtain it. Okay, and not obtaining it, it's like a fly that's on your windowsill. What happens when a fly flies into your window? Okay, well, it will keep flying and flying and flying and flying and flying until it exhausts itself. Then a little while later, you'll find it laying on its back on your windowsill. Okay, it exhausted itself. It can no longer express the God code in it. The fly finds its own peace, you could say, by flying around. The freedom of its flight, okay, is its peace. Whereas we find peace in Christ. Within the confines of this covenant, we have our peace. Same thing with the sacrifices of the temple. The sacrifices of the temple brought peace to Israel, okay, even though they were contained or restricted to that one particular area in Jerusalem, okay, when Solomon built the temple. Okay, there was peace throughout the land. Okay, the ripple effect of his faith was found in all nations. There was peace throughout the world for 40 years. There was no war nor evil occurring throughout the whole world at that period of time. Okay, the demons were bound from their form of activity by and through the stewardship of Solomon. All right, so verse 10, night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. That's the setting order when I come there. We see that also in 1 Corinthians 11:34. Now God himself, I like the word God himself, or I like the word faith first in verse 10. We can count back there. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times he's mentioned faith here. He says your faith. So we understand that when the Apostle Paul uses the word your faith, he's talking about the fruit, the fruit bearing. When he talks, when he says the faith, he's talking about the doctrine, which we're preaching. All right. And also it talks about the gift of faith, right? In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the gift of faith. Okay. The gift of faith is that which the Spirit supernaturally uses through you in order to achieve that particular goal and for that particular time. We can see that in the Old Testament. The gift of faith in the Old Testament was identifying the servants of God. Okay. The gift of faith. Okay, but the work of regeneration identifies the servants of God in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and 14. 12, 13, and 14 are really, really good chapters to read because the Apostle Paul is breaking that down, okay, concerning how the heathen uses the Gentiles and the heathen use certain good things which God gives to identify themselves with as being good people. Okay, a good harvest means good people. That's how the Gentiles look at that. The sinners look at that. If I get a good golf score, I must be a good person. I mean, that's the way the logic works. So in other words, you get a bad golf score, that means you're a bad person then, right? Okay, so logic doesn't necessarily always work out to the positive for the sinner. It doesn't always work out that way. And that's why they're continually shifting their feet. If the left foot, their logic doesn't work well, then they lean on the right foot of the logic. The right foot, the logic doesn't work well, then they lean on the left foot. In other words, they're boxing with circumstances. Like a boxer, professional boxer. A professional boxer, see, continually shifts their weight, okay, in order to gain, see, the most advantage in their impact, in their punching, in order to gain the most impact in that. So they continually shift their weight, and that's the way the logic of the sinner works. But the kingdom of God doesn't work that way. Because there's no shifting. There's perfect equity within a covenant. There's perfect equity there. Okay, even though the Apostle Paul brings out concerning afflictions and suffering tribulation, there's still perfect equity there. Because you're doing all these things in the cycles of your growth. Okay, the greatest contradiction exists within your own signature. And the biggest barrier, the largest barrier to overcome is yourself. You have to overcome yourself. You have to overcome Satan and the world. Okay, by overcoming yourself, okay, you're enduring unto the end. He that endures unto the end shall be saved. Okay, the enduring unto the end has to do with you're using the tokens of the covenant through each cycle of your growth, okay, and abounding in the kingdom of God. Well, let's read about that here as the time's getting short and you get ready, your sacrifices ready here. So the Apostle Paul's identifying himself, Silvanus and Timotheus, to perfect their faith. Now, God himself, this is how God oversees our faith. Okay, he oversees it in his government. It begins in the crystal sea and is completed there. Now, God himself and our Father, remember, he's governing our destiny from this point in origin. Our true memorial and our true origin, our true genealogy, our true history, our true testimony exist within the Father's bosom. But just because we're in temporary bodies in a temporary dimension, working with temporary things for a short lifespan, just because we're in this dimension doesn't mean that that which is the other dimension has less value because it's invisible. The invisible has more value than the visible because everything in this dimension will be dissolved and destroyed by fire, as it's written, and there is a new heavens and new earth. Everything that the sinner, the wicked, the ungodly, everything that they used in this dimension to identify themselves with and to find value in themselves will be removed from them. Then, and being removed from them, they're found naked before the presence of God. Being found naked before the presence of God, they have nothing to give to him. Their soul is void of any fruit. Their soul is void of any treasure to give to the king. And as a transgression, all powers, all servants that come in the presence of the king, they have to reciprocate a gift to show your servitude. We show servitude to our Christ, okay, to our Lord Jesus Christ, by the gifts which we give back to him. It is by these gifts that we give back to him that we're saved. It's by these gifts that you reciprocate to him that you seal your salvation. Now, God himself and our Father, okay, and the power that return us to him, being our Lord Jesus Christ, direct our way unto you. The anointing will continue to attend upon these perceptions. The angel of righteousness will continue to speak to you. He'll speak to your conscience. And he's doing that right now. The angel of righteousness is speaking to your conscience to where you can compile this knowledge in the form of sacrifice. And seeing these things, the Lord takes delight in this. And he gives you a gift. He gives you a gift to return. Now God himself and our Father, Lord Jesus Christ, direct our way into you. And the Lord make you, see, it says it right there, the Lord make you. By these tokens, something is happening to increase as a seed matures into a tree and abound. This is to enlarge the heart and charity because it will extend the soul with fruitful branches. Okay, we are as a fruitful tree. To increase, highlight the word increase and highlight the word abound because we're talking about it to mature and then being enlarged, to mature and to enlarge. See, a tree through each season and cycle is expected to bring more produce on its branches, whether it be oranges or apples or pears, through each season, until, of course, the lifespan of the tree is exhausted. Then, of course, it won't do that. Okay, it begins to bring less and less and less each season, which shows that it's dying, but not so in the kingdom of God. Okay, so Lord, make you to increase and abound. And what? In love. There's your charity, because charity extends the soul. It extends the soul. Okay, and love one toward another, and toward all saints, or toward all men, or toward all saints, even as we, being the stewardship and government, do towards you. Okay, verse 13, and we'll wind up here. To the end, that means with this goal in mind. This goal in mind is the joy of the Lord. Okay, the joy and the glory of the Lord. Okay, we have a lesson on that. The joy is his peace. God has peace seeing through these expressions, okay, and that these expressions will never be reduced or frustrated. We don't want to frustrate the grace of God. To frustrate the grace of God has to do with that you're not nurturing it. You're not being nurtured by his grace. Okay, you're falling prey to the mixture of Satan's counsel, the mixtures of Satan's counsel, okay, which always centers upon your comfort zones. Okay, your comfort zones has to do with what you can project with the imagination for the purpose of achieving your peace. This is what the world does. The world teaches this in all its education systems. All institutions of the world teach you for that. It's like a worm on a hook, a promise on a hook. Okay, you follow through with our system right here. We'll reward you with a document for the purpose of showing that you have completed all the requirements there that would be necessary in order for you to further your career in any kind of particular field. Okay? And so upon the pursuit of this, you find your peace. Okay, you find your peace. We're not looking for peace there. There's nothing wrong with education. Okay, but your peace won't be there. Okay, your peace will be in the covenant. You can walk in the covenant. You can labor in the farmer's field and sow the field and reap the harvest without honoring the gods of the field or without honoring the gods of harvest. We honor the Lord God through the covenant. Well, let's finish up here. So we increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. You see the cycle and the bonding. To the end and for this goal that he may establish your hearts. He's going to free your soul from any false burdens. To the end he may establish your hearts where, how, and this manner, unblameable. Okay, that is by the union of this cooperation, unblameable, in holiness, because you're attending his altar in the presence of the eye, of his eye, the eye of the throne. To the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness, because holiness has to do with that we're approaching God in his terms. Okay, his sanctification is that God separates us from the world to himself. Okay, by the anointing which we have received, and we separate ourselves from the world unto God, by the tokens which he's provided for us. So we're attending his altar in the presence of his eye, the throne being his eye. The eye of the Lord is over the righteous. Okay, because Jesus is Lord only if his eye is upon you. And where is his eye at? Well, his eye is here at the altar. So we, therefore, unblameable holiness before God, even our Father, which has to do with, as we were in his bosom. When we are in his bosom, we are before his eye. And we're before his eye now because we are tethered to him by the Spirit, by the anointing. Even our Father at his coming, even our Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Okay, when he visits us, as well as also establishes his kingdom, you can see the pattern. The pattern which we're observing presently is a pattern also which will be living physically, because we're going to be raptured, and then we're going to return back for increase. Then we're going to enter into the 10th week, the 10th Enochian week, which you'll see a new heavens and new earth. So we can see we came down and we go back, and we come down again and we go back, but only to come down and for the purpose of being planted within the house of God, the holy city, New Jerusalem, which is the mother of us all. Being planted there, we continue to expand the house of our Father by the pure conscience. Okay, as pillars in the mansions, the dimensions of our rule, or the house of our rule. Okay, we're expanding our Father's house. We're expanding it here in our heart so that we can expand it also within the baptism of light. So let's read verse 13 one more time. Okay, refresh yourselves here to the end. He may establish your hearts. This is the goal. Unblameable, being justified, unblameable by this cooperation and unity in holiness at his altar, separating yourselves from the world unto God by the tokens which he sanctified, which he's governing your destiny by, the eye of his throne. Okay, the Father, which has to do with, again, the source of our beginning, which has to do in his bosom there. The origin of our beginning is the goal of our completion. And we experience this daily. Spiritually, experience this daily, setting a pattern. So we can see that the gospel is our GPS. The anointing is our GPS. It's going to bring us back into the Father's presence, Father's physical presence, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints.
All those which are listening today, if you like to come in covenant with God, you have to begin to seek God. You're going to have to also put aside the barriers of your former traditions and your mindset. And you're going to have to seek him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Okay, if you want to come in covenant with God. Okay, well, thank you for listening today. Continue to seek the Lord. His grace will abound towards those that seek him out of a pure heart. And this is Apostle Eric von Ehrsick here speaking. Have a good day, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.